I am so excited to give you this word today. However, it's one of those words. It's one of those words you're like, God, do I really have to go there? But I'm going there. I'm going there this morning, and I feel like it's truth that's revealed to me, and I feel very passionate about this. And so I just invite you to have an open heart this morning. But we're going to read out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 1. I don't hear a lot of rustling, so I'm assuming there's not a whole lot of physical Bibles. Did we not just talk about that last week, guys? I saw Roy. Roy heeded the call. Right, Roy? Show the class. Yeah, show the class. Thank you, Roy. Secretly, he's got a tablet hidden in there. I'm just kidding. All right, reading out of verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Can we pray for a moment? Lord, I thank you for this time that we've already had in worship, Lord. We sense your spirit working in this house and that you're doing a good work in us today. I pray that you would just give us hearing ears right now. Help us to be receptive to your word, Lord. Focused on your word today. Focused on seeking you further, growing closer, deeper in our relationships with you. Father, I pray that we just would not leave this place the same that we came in today. Lord, align my thoughts with your thoughts, Father. Help me to speak your word as you've given it to me. Holy Spirit, we ask for a fresh filling today, a fresh baptism, I pray. Fill this house. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so these letters, Timothy, these are very profound for work and ministry. I think I was talking, I don't know if it's you, Roy, we were talking about it, how it's such a, they're so short, but there is so much substance in these two letters to Timothy, especially for work and ministry, and it's very effective in training. And I can relate with Timothy in the fact that he was young in his time of being in ministry, and Paul was seasoning him, and I take a lot of knowledge and encouragement and correction from this word. But particularly what we just read, verses 2 through 4, they stand as these big, bright warning signs to me. And Paul says, be ready in season and out of season. Be ready when people desire the truth and when people desire comfort. And Paul says there will be a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not seek truth because they will heap up for themselves teachers who teach according to their own desires. So when I read this, it's like this alarm going off saying, be prepared, be ready to stand for truth at all times. Because there will be a time, and I believe the time is now, when people will not hear, and they will seek their own truth. And it goes back to this great apostasy we talked about last week, this falling away, that's what that means, this great falling away from faith. And so people are turning to comfort rather than the truth of the word, becoming masters over their own lives, being God over their own lives, God with a lowercase g. And they weren't firmly built on the foundation, like we spoke about last week, being built on the rock that is in Jesus. And so what I'm going to say today is it's not a personal attack on churches. It's not a personal attack on anybody here. And so I want to preface that. But this is a general concern I have, and I believe it's backed up by the Word, and it's backed up by what I've observed in the Church of America. And so I'm going to say a statement here, and just give me a second, but I actually believe it's very easy to grow a church with a lot of people. Because we can have some great entertainment, which, I tell you what, we've got a great worship team that is anointed, and he's the Spirit's calling on our lives, but you can have a lot of great entertainment and these different programs to appeal to the masses, the fancy playgrounds, and an uplifting message that is punctual, 14 to 20 minutes or so. But is the truth of the ministry of Jesus found in those ministries? Maybe. Maybe. But I fear the answer is often no. So instead of allowing the truth of God's glory and the beauty of his Son and what he has done for us to be the main draw to our churches, we draw them in with gift cards to visiting members. We give great life lessons with some gentle, small amounts of biblical context. There was a song we just sang for the honor, and it hit me pretty hard. And I was thinking about the scripture, for they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And I begin to think about that in our own lives, in our own churches. We have a lot of babblings. We have a lot of great, eloquent words and speeches, and we do all these things that draw in, but we don't do enough to honor God in our actions. And I've spoken about this actually a few times. I acknowledge that. In the few months, I've brought up these concerns of mine, but I bring them up because I see them as a huge danger to the church, a huge danger to your faith, to be mindful, be prepared in season and out of season. Because maybe it was with good intentions that these churches, these ministries, they take these actions to be more welcoming and open to people. I believe there were good intentions. But I also believe it's slowly crushing people's faith. Because we're not shepherding souls in churches anymore. We're becoming coffee houses. We're becoming a place with great entertainment and childcare and some poetry at the pulpit. And so this truth was very hard for me to accept, because it is natural for someone in leadership of a church to desire to see growth. Kind of fulfills your own pride in a way. You see growth, oh, look at what I'm doing. There's nothing I can do right now that can change this anymore. I have fully accepted, and if I ever get off on the path, you can kick me, it's all right. But I'm telling you, the path is straight for me, and it's the path of truth and love and life. But I see these dangers all around. And so Paul says here, preach the word, the whole word, old covenant and new. He says, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. These are not always the most savory methods for people. It's the truth. It's not always the easiest things to hear. Sometimes you come here to be corrected. I get corrected all the time. And so what we're seeing is a sweeping movement of this catering of the gospel to not offend people, to draw people in, to fill the house with bodies. But we're not afraid of offending God at all in church. So we have church after church mimic this model of growth. They see growth, and they do the same things. They mimic the same programs because they're successful and their numbers rise. But the growth is in bodies, I believe, and not necessarily in souls. And so I believe, like I said before, sometimes, you know, that I believe the hearts were correct, that a desire to reach people, reach the lost in a way. But it's turning into this watered down, spiritless church. We get so caught up in needing to see these results and seeing people, and we're so desperate to please people, even in the church, we're not afraid of displeasing God. And so we're not afraid of quenching the Holy Spirit's work in the church. That's unbelief. Going back to a few months ago, whatever it was, in John chapter 7, we're talking about the brothers of Jesus and their call to Jesus to make himself known at this feast. Let them see your works. Making a spectacle in church that people will love it. Entertainment values to draw people in. And so we're losing this authentic experience where the Holy Spirit is just given freedom to operate. And where the power of God is the only thing we need to be concerned with. And where the message of the cross and the blood of Jesus is greater than any motivational speech.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So to operate in truth and love, folks, we as a church have to go against the grain, go against the flow. Okay? Are we deeply in love with the Father? Or are we in love with fellowship? Gifted musicians, do we worship? Worship. That's a danger, folks. And this might be something we don't even realize. I came to this realization a while back. And when I get into listening to worship music, am I seeking the Lord for his worthiness, for his glory, or am I just enjoying the sound of this music? And so I get deep in enjoying this stuff, and am I beginning to worship the worship? I see it where we start to idolize some of these worship artists, and it's a danger. I believe, like I said, intentions are good. But be careful. Be careful with our hearts. These pits are very easy to fall into, and it's a popular Christian movement. So my prayer as pastor here of this church is, God, what would you have me say? What would you have me do? Where we become a church who is just in love with you. In love with seeking you rather than seeking comfort, even when we don't feel like it. Not a lover of ministry or programs. 2 Timothy, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. People will go find a place to hear what they want to hear. Paul tells Timothy, as for you, endure afflictions, be watchful. They'll find a teacher that teaches them what they want to hear. What do you want to believe today? Do you want to believe that there's no hell, that there's no wrath? You'll find someone to teach that. If you want to hear that God is a God who makes everybody rich and you just claim what you want and you can have it, they'll find a preacher to say that. Want to believe that there are many ways to heaven, not just through the blood of Jesus. You'll find someone who teaches that. You'll find someone who teaches whatever you want to hear. And I can guarantee you, I can find a Christian teacher, PhD, accredited, and they'll tell you that living in sin is fine. They'll tell you all these things are fine because God made everything for our pleasure. Food's for the stomach, stomach's for the food. What's your pleasure? What do you want to believe? And that's the culture that we're getting into. But Paul tells Timothy, don't you be one of those people. Amen. Stay the course. Now is the time to stay on the path. Don't follow the way of deceit and false teaching. This is not a lack of love to show people truth, to operate in truth. And it's rather the opposite. If we don't speak truth, we are not expressing love. I will answer to God for the words I speak, and I'm convinced there is no other way to operate than to operate in truth and love. So that, going back to 2 Timothy and Paul's message here, says that involves teaching, that involves rebuking. Take that a little further, that involves praying, serving, worshiping. These are all ways that we show love to God and love to one another. Because if we love people, we want to see them go to the Father. If we love people, we won't just talk about it. We will live out the gospel. Because if all of I have and my belief in God is my dogma, my philosophy, my knowledge, and I do not have love, I'm just emptiness and noise. It's our very first commandment. The heart is a muscle, and you strengthen muscles by using them. So the more I lead with my heart, the stronger it becomes. So operating in truth is operating in love. Can you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13? These are very familiar passages. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. I think one of the greatest acts of love that we can perform as a church is just to be a church of open arms, loving people more than we even love ourselves. And that is easy to say in theory and far more difficult in practice and reality. But embracing people with compassion and understanding, but speaking truth and standing on truth, enduring in truth. The only way people view the love of God is through his church, through his people. What will they experience? What will they experience in you and me? If the only way, if that's the only thing they experience, is it sincere? Does it sound, oh, someone's phone is going off here. Is it sincere? Does it suffer long? Does it not envy, not parade itself? Love never fails. Where church programs fail, love never does. I'm going to stop this thing for a moment because it's going to be a distraction. Siri heard me somehow. Hey, Siri.
We're having church.
Someone want to take this from me, please? This is Ian's. I don't want any distractions because I think this is a very critical word. Where the programs fail, love does not. where the theological debates exist, love does not. Where pride and arrogance can fail us, love does not. So to tag onto that statement, that question, the only way people will view the love of God through me, how will they experience it? So when someone experiences love in this church, when they experience that love, it is the only act this church really needs to perform, okay? It's really the most crucial thing. If someone experiences through us, through truth, through sincerity, the love of God, that is power in every life. No programs, no fancy bells and whistles, just truth and love, because love never fails. And so the next thing I want to say, this is a caution, which I think is extremely important. However, I do not necessarily believe it applies to the people in this church, the observations I've made from this church. But this is a warning that we should continue. And it's this: church, as it's intended to be, is not about tradition for tradition's sake. It's about becoming a place where there is growth and discipleship, pursuing greater intimacy with the Father, the outpouring of His glory through the Holy Spirit, about bringing others to knowing the power of Jesus and what He has done for us on the cross. So we need to make sure that we are pursuing Him and not our comforts and not our traditions of the way things have always been. Because that is a danger in church. If you've been raised and you've been in church a long time, we get used to the way things have been. And I, like I said before, I will say this again, this is not necessarily about this church. So don't fear some big shakeup or anything crazy. I'm not talking crazy things here. But I want to affirm that there is a lot more that we can do as a church. We're not done yet, and especially in our community. And so I believe that we need to always be evaluating how we can better reach people or have an attitude like Paul, become anything to anybody if I might mean I could save some. We have to be sold out to pursuing the lost rather than our preferences. And that's the struggle in church. We have preferences. We have comforts that we're used to. And oftentimes we don't want to see those things changed because it was okay. If everything was fine before. So I want to back this up with some scripture in Matthew chapter 15. Verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you? Whenever the question is answered with a question, you know it's serious. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit if you might have received from me, is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came to him and said, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Whew. That's some serious talk. That's some serious talk about traditions and comforts and the way we knew things over authenticity, truth, and a relationship, over religion. Saying you're holding on to your traditions, your teachings, your religion, but what you stand on is false. So what do we take from this? We can't care more about preserving our comforts than helping the lost find Jesus. About preserving that relationship over preserving our comforts. Jesus says, whatever the Father did not plant will be uprooted. My desire is this church becomes a house of people that are trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, not something that needs to be uprooted. What does this mean for us? I can kind of almost hear that question in your eyes the way you're looking at me. What does this mean? It's pretty simple. We just stick to the gospel. We stick to the truth. But we also need to always be mindful of how we can better reach people, how we can better reach the lost, how we can better live out the gospel. So the point is to never be so stuck in our thinking to keep things the way they are, because that's just the way it's always been done. When the lost aren't hearing the truth of the gospel, they're not hearing it. And so we see record numbers of suicide deaths, depression, people leaving their faith. Thank God you are saved, but millions are not. So we have to balance remaining steadfast in the truth of the word while finding new ways to reach a lost and dying world. And where I compare this to, many years ago, it was a tradition for African Americans to sit in the back of the church and be last to take communion if it wasn't completely segregated at all. So I'd like someone to show me where that's biblical. And so what I'm calling out right now is that was a comfort of the time. That was broken. That was a tradition that was broken by truth. And so whatever the comforts are, guys, we have to be very mindful and very careful that whatever we're doing, it aligns with the Word of God. And so if we receive correction, be open to it, accept what we're being told, what we're being corrected on. It was tradition not too long ago to not even have these secular type instruments, guitars and drums. Thank God that's changed, because I would have been out a lot of uses in church. And so we see this example of how God wants to uproot false tradition that was not planted in truth. And instead, he plants this authentic worship and devotion. Do things God's way. Do things God's way. That's pretty straightforward. And so, being particular, we get involved with our community in different ways. And of course, we see this use of technology and wherever it is. These are the ways that we evaluate what we can do, how we can do it in the mission field. I'm not saying to change our thinking, to change what's biblical. I'm just saying we need to be open-minded. And if it means trying to invite 20 of the least of these off the streets, even though it might not feel comfortable for us, for some people, it's necessary. Whatever's necessary to reach souls, that's what we need to do. whatever is necessary. Thank God we're saved, but so many are not. So we can be more effective in the way we deliver the gospel. And I felt compelled about all this because I see this falling away happening around me, and it's especially in students and young adults, kids. These are your kids. So this is a warning to all of us. The rising generations don't just want you to talk about it. They want to see it. They want to see it lived out. You want to talk about Jesus and his ministry? Well, they want to see us live it out by caring for the poor and needy, loving. Proclaim the gospel with your deeds first. James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, says you will know them by their fruits. And so this is why we see this record number of students, young people, leaving the church. Or sometimes their faith entirely. Because they hear about how good God is in service, and they don't see it lived out through God's people. Not seeing those fruits be evident. Jesus didn't stand for the programs or religion, knowledge for knowledge's sake. He stood for truth. So how will people view God's love through you? That's the question. Because if all someone gets to experience of God is through you, through a conversation, through an act, whatever it is, whether we like it or not, the world is looking to us. They're looking to us very tightly too, waiting for these mistakes. So if all I have in my belief is knowledge, comforts, I attend service, if all I have are these things, but I have not love, love for God, love for my neighbor, then all I am is just noise and emptiness. So my call to this church is to remain steadfast and endure in truth and love. Remember when I said, there's this thing that Christians do where we hear we got to love people. We got to love them more than we love ourselves. We got to love them with no bias. And that immediately means that we have to steer away from the gospel because the gospel might offend people. And that's not what I'm saying at all. That's rather the opposite. But we still love. We still love with open arms. But a part of loving is speaking the truth. So let me summarize, because I just said a lot of stuff, and I want to be very clear. Be ready at all times to make a defense for your faith. Paul says be ready in season and out of season. Kind of feels like it's in season right now, so you better be ready. Be concerned that people are looking towards teachers to tell them what they want to hear, rather than what the Father says. Build your intimacy and closeness with your Heavenly Father, and let the love that He shows us pour out and show that to the world. So love without delay, love without discrimination, love fiercely as the Father loved you in your weakness. It's easy to forget where we came from sometimes as Christians. And if you take one thing away from this, guys, stand on the truth, the Word of God. But don't just say it. Don't just proclaim it. Live it. People want to see. People want to see it. They want to see something different in you, in me. If we're just like anybody else, then what testimony is that to the unbeliever? If they don't see any difference, then what's the point of any of it? Why do I need to be involved with church? Why do I need to worry about, am I saved? Do they see the difference in you? So live out your faith, loving others above yourselves. So today, I'm not even sure what you might need in prayer, what you might want to pray for, somebody you might want to pray for, whether it's just you need a few more minutes of time alone. But I can tell you, I don't want to miss opportunities where they are. And so we get accustomed to the way things are. I get accustomed to something. I have preferences. I like the worship music to be really loud. You might think it's loud now, but I could go for a lot louder. I like it really cold in here. You might think it's cold already, but I like it a lot colder. Okay, these are things. These are small examples of preferences and comforts. But sometimes you just got to let go and just understand that I need to experience God over experiencing my comforts. Over tradition, this is the way things have always been. Well, we always have an altar call. We always do this. There's no always anything. And I'm sorry if that shakes you a little bit, but we want to operate in truth and love, an authentic worship, authentic church. And I believe that's happening. I believe we're already there. We just have some things to keep tweaking, to keep working on, to keep seeking. How can we do better in our community? How can we do better to reach the lost? These are areas. But today, if you have not accepted the Lord, I invite you, let's just stand for a moment. I invite you to make that election today. If you believe in the Lord Jesus and you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. However, if you've experienced pain and hurt from the church, or you've been involved with being so focused on what can be accomplished in church, you weren't focused on what can be accomplished in your relationship further. Wherever these areas are, I just invite you to take a few moments of reflection, take a few moments of prayer and worship, and just focus on the Lord. Where are the areas that you might not have been an example of your faith, lived out your faith in truth and love? These are all areas that I think we can fail at often in life, and that's okay. That's why we come here, because in this time, we seek healing from pain and we seek restoration. So I just pray right now that the Lord would restore our mindsets. God, that you would do something fresh in us today. That you would help us to walk in boldness when it's not happening in any churches around us, nearly. Walking in truth. Walking in faith. Walking in love. God, help us. Help direct us, I pray. We can't do this alone. Our own mindset, our own thinking gets in the way of the things that you prepare for us, the things that you want us to do. So, Father, we just devote it all to you. We devote all of our thinking. We devote our actions to you. Father, I pray that you would show us how to love more. How to be concerned for what's going on around us. How to be concerned for seeing souls come to you. That we wouldn't hold on to our comforts and our own selfish desire over what you desire, Lord. So I pray that you just build up our faith. Build up love today. And Father, I pray as a church that you would just unify us today in this mission to be a house of healing, a house of worship, a house of love. Father, that when we go out into the world or when people come here, Father, that they will know that your love is true and that it never fails.